Ah, yes, it's that time again. Just when you think you have it all figured out, something comes along that makes you question everything. This is Unexplained Incorporated, and we are open for business. More and more people want to know who and what is really running the world. Whether it's the elected officials in the public eye, the intelligence agencies, or a cabal of secret societies in the shadows. Just remember that no matter who is involved, there is only one agenda. There is only one grand conspiracy. That grand conspiracy is to hijack your perception and make you believe you are much less than what you really are. These are the ones that manipulate you into feeling weak, powerless, and dependent. These are the ones that manipulate you into believing that you only have five senses. These are the ones who promote our differences instead of our uniqueness. These are the ones that try to convince you that there is no spiritual realm. Only the physical one. These are the ones who don't want you to discover the truth, just their own version of the truth. But have no fear, true believers, it is an illusion after all, and in response to this agenda, there is only one way to escape the matrix. That response is to remember who you are, a beautiful being of light energy. In response to the illusionary matrix, many have achieved a higher level of consciousness and awareness. These are the light workers of our world, and Unexplained Incorporated has chosen to honor them once a month, as their gift is to shine their light onto the world so others are able to shine theirs just as bright, if not brighter. We are early in the age of Aquarius, and the revolution is not taking place in the streets, but within recognition of the essence of our being. Healers, counselors, teachers, communicators, journalists, and everyone doing light work in these dark times will now get their chance to shine brightly on this platform where nobody can snuff out these energetic beings having a human experience. These are ordinary people with extraordinary gifts, and will play a significant part in humanity reclaiming its true essence. Unexplained Incorporated is proud to begin this journey into the light right now. Yes, it is the end of May, true believers, and it's another exciting edition of the Lightworker series on Unexplained Incorporated. And right now, I would like to welcome the Lightworker for the month of May. This is medium Courtney Dawson joining us from beautiful British Columbia. Courtney, hello. Thank you for taking the time to come on. How are things going with you right now?
Things are going good, and thank you so much for having me right now. Lots of changes going on with the world and the work we do, but it's nice to be a part of it.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a little while, and we're going to talk about some of the online workshops you are doing as well. But first, this came to me right away, and it's an amazing sense of divine timing, I think. So when I got home from work before this recording, I saw a post on your Instagram page, and the post was about how you said, okay, I confess I ate leftover pizza, but I got back to my exercise and things are all good. So the reason I bring this up is that I'm in the same boat as you. I'm going through a bit of a weight loss program myself right now, but I've had my struggles and I'm just starting to get back in line. However, in this odd occurrence, I'm also reading a book, Shamanic Spirit by Kenneth Meadows. It's an excellent read, and I've had a lot of amazing takeaways from it. And one of the takeaways I read about this past weekend just happens to tie in with your Instagram post. So I wanted to share it with yourself and the true believers.
Great.
And so what it's about, essentially, it's about having an internal dialogue with your body self. And this is from practices of old kahuna shamanics from Hawaii. I don't have time to get into the whole background in the practice, but it is in this book by Kenneth Meadows. And this chapter differentiates between the ego self, the mind self, and the body self, and it helps you determine what food you eat and what's good for you and not good for you. But what really stood out to me was that it basically says by having dialogue with your body self is more effective than any rigid diet plan you can follow. Because listen, diet plans are all fine and good, but it's not a one size fit all kind of deal. Like what works for one group of people does not work for the other. And I just want to read just a couple of quotes from the book here that relate to this. And I just want to say for you, myself, and anyone else going through this right now, don't feel so bad about slipping up. So here's the first one. Quote, "So what you eat is what appeals to and satisfies your mind rather than what nourishes your body. The food looks good, smells good, and tastes good. So the ego self thinks it must be good, but it may not be to the body self," end quote. And here's the end of the paragraph. Quote, "Dialogue with your body self is a more accurate method of determining body needs than a dietary plan, which after all has been devised in accordance with certain general principles and theories thought out by someone else's ego self." So,
I love it.
Yeah. I had a feeling you would. So I just wanted to say to you, if you want to go and eat that leftover pizza, as long as you stick to what you're doing, you go right ahead. And the same goes for anyone else. So I'm really happy that I was able to share that with you.
Isn't that interesting how the universe has this way of bringing synchronicity and really confirming what we need in that moment? And could be through a book we're reading or through an Instagram post. We always get the message that we need. And I think that's just, it's awesome.
Absolutely. And divine timing, synchronicity, that's going to come up, I'm sure, repeatedly throughout this interview, as I've had many instances myself. And my helper for the podcast, Angel Card Amy, she switched me on to you a couple months ago, I think. It was quite some time ago, and was suggesting to have you here on the podcast. And I was thinking, well, this is perfect for the Lightworker series. And luckily you came aboard and here we are. Amy, though, took it one step further and she decided to take one of your workshops because she is a psychic medium in training. On the one-year anniversary of the show, she came out and said it publicly, basically worldwide for the very first time. And that took a big load off of her shoulders. We're going to talk about Amy's experiences soon, but Courtney, could you tell me about your medium workshops, how they work, how you can register, and overall, like how are they helping people in this crazy time that we're living in?
You bet. So right now I am offering workshops through a center that I work out of. Not only am I a psychic medium, but I'm also a licensed spiritualist minister. So part of my ministry is teaching people to work with their mediumship or mediumship potential. And through that, we're not only a church, but we're a teaching center. So we have people from all over the world that will come to us that are wanting to explore these psychic and mediumistic abilities. And due to the current climate of the world, we're offering them virtually. So we have noticed that there's been a lot of people that are reaching out for help, that are wanting to understand this awakening that's happening to them right now. And the collective is going through a huge shift right now. It seems that these latent abilities that people have had that have lain dormant for so long, it's starting to percolate and people are starting to ask more questions. People are wanting to delve in deeper. So at Lighthouse, we've designed several different workshops. And the latest one that I'm currently tutoring on is Saturday Medium. So it's offered via Zoom. It's open to anybody, really anybody who has an internet connection. So with that, what we are focusing on right now are the clairs. So the clairs are psychic faculties, the different ways that we can perceive, sense, and feel the spirit world. And so through that 2-hour workshop, we will pick one clair, do a little bit of talk, a little bit of theory on it. And the way I approach these workshops is if I'm teaching somebody something, I want them to know what they're doing, and better yet, why they're doing it. And recognizing that we're all unique individuals, we all interpret, sense, and feel things differently. So I work very closely with each of the individuals to not compare, but recognize you're a unique individual. And this is how potentially the spirit world may work with you. So in that, there's also some coaching that is going along with it. And we've had incredible feedback. We've had people come all the way from across Canada, which has been incredible, because without COVID, this probably would not have happened. So there's a little gem in there, I suppose, if we're to look at it that way.
Well, you know what they say, there's always silver linings underneath the darkest clouds. So that is one perfect example of it right now. Courtney, is this something you would continue after, you know, the pandemic is essentially over and lifted? Because it sounds like it's been a huge success so far.
It has been a huge success so far. And we have clients and students that are coming not just from Canada, but throughout North America. Myself, I have been doing readings virtually for about the last 5 years. So this isn't something new to me. I have clients in the UK, Denmark, and in the United States and across Canada. So I've been using different platforms to connect these people with coaching, with mentoring, and of course, through the mediumship readings. And it's something that I'll definitely be continuing on post-pandemic.
That's good to hear. Angel Card Amy wants to do more classes. We're going to talk about her in a minute, but you said something that really piqued my interest. Back in December on Unexplained Incorporated, even before I started the Lightworker series, I had a couple of members on from my local chapter of the Spiritualist Church. And you mentioned you were a spiritualist minister. Are you associated with the Spiritualist Church of Canada? Yeah. I believe that's the organization's name. And I just want to know, is it similar?
We're not actually affiliated. We're an independent. So within the Spiritualist churches throughout Canada, the United States, and actually spiritualism started in the United States, but really kind of bursted out over in the UK. And so the different countries have an organization, but there are a lot of independent centers and churches. So Lighthouse Spiritual Center, where I'm a minister out of, we're an independent center, but we still follow the seven principles of spiritualism.
Okay. Now, is that throughout Canada or just your part of the country?
It's actually throughout the country. There's a lot of independent centers, and there's no formal organization that you have to be associated with, but I am familiar with the Spiritualist Association of Canada.
Because both embrace mediumship, and heard some really fascinating stories when they were on back in December, and it really piqued my interest. So we've been given permission by Angel Card Amy to talk about the work she did at your last workshop. Yes. I guess I want to start with how far along, like, what is she doing really well right now? And what does she need to work on? Because like you said, like, nobody is better than anybody else, but each person has their own learning curve and their own speed at which they get things. In your estimation, after working with her, where is she at right now in your eyes?
I think that with any medium, it's hard to say. Mediumship is a lifelong journey. So people can take certification programs through some really good mediums, but that doesn't mean you know everything. It's a lifelong journey. And as you continue to grow and develop, so will those spirit guides that work with you, and so how you work with them. And so with Amy, you could definitely see some nervousness and a bit of trepidation. And I think it was because she was with a group of people that she had not known before. So a little bit of an icebreaker. So I tried to lighten up the atmosphere. I would say the biggest takeaway there is there's definitely that mediumistic potential there. I would hope that she would trust more of what she's receiving.
Right.
And that's something I see with a lot of students, is that they're actually getting a lot more information than what they're giving out or what they think they're getting. And so, I would say continue on trusting what you're getting. And her and I talk quite a bit, and so I give her little tips and support. And I think her heart is in the right place to actually be doing this work. So with that, makes me super happy. There's no ego. There's not about fame or accolades. I feel her heart is in the right place. So that in itself is wonderful to see somebody who wants to continue to develop and for the right reasons.
Yeah. And from, you know, my relationship with her, I think it's just a matter of building that trust within and getting more confident. And before I continue, I'm going to have to go back and stop on the video, but on above between your printer and your bookshelf, I may have seen an orb fly by. And this is not the first time it has happened while I've been on a video chat with someone. So I just wanted to alert you to that right now.
Okay. Yeah, it's not abnormal. This room, this is my reading room. It's very packed with energy, and actually just above where I'm sitting, there's a portal. So this room is always filled with spirit, and I actually have four animals. And when that door is open, they come running in and they love the energy. It's very peaceful and subdued.
Oh, that's good. Good to know. One more thing about Amy, and then we're going to move on to more of your story, which everybody wants to hear. For the first time, I decided to ask her for a reading to basically help her practice. And we've known each other for just over a year now, a year and a bit, and I haven't done this before. Long story short, I had some incredible downloads from Spirit in my own work and my own journeying, and I wanted to see what she would come up with. And some of the things I'm still trying to figure out, but we had a couple of amazing synchronicities where she meditated and journaled. And at the time, the discussion beforehand, it didn't resonate or make a whole lot of sense. And then it came up within the cards itself and the booklet. And we were both pretty blown away by that. So definitely some progress going on there.
Definitely. And it's interesting because if Spirit is trying to get a message through to their medium in one way, and the medium, can I say, is maybe not getting it, or the recipient isn't understanding it. Spirit's pretty smart and they're intuitive. They will find another way to get that message to the recipient. And it's all about service, and it's all about them helping support us that are still here in the physical.
Yeah. And tell me if you agree with this one. I had a couple of other personal instances of this, even in the last few days. They also really have a twisted sense of humor, don't they?
They can. It depends. I always say just because the spirit world is taken off their physical cloak and now they're in their natural form, which is spirit, doesn't change who they are. If they had a pretty wacky sense of humor, it doesn't change when they cross over. They don't have wings. They're still the same people. They've gone from having a physical form to being formless. But yeah, I see it all the time, especially with some of my loved ones. And especially in the private readings, sometimes I just cover my mouth and I am shocked. I'm like, I cannot say this stuff. I'm supposed to be composed and professional. But, you know, I just think it's great because isn't that incredible evidence too of the personality?
Yeah. And I almost wonder at times if some of my guides mirror me, because I just, you know, I don't use it in front of everyone, but I do have quite a twisted sense of humor myself. And there are times where I just say, oh, come on now. Like, what are you doing to me? But hey, I'm laughing about it. So it can't be all that bad, right? I mean.
Absolutely. And they want to have fun too. People think working with spirit, it's all stone face and it's enjoyable. And I look at it this way. If you're not having fun when you're working with spirit, then why are you doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you doing the work? It should be enjoyable. And when you're in that high vibration, it just feeds you energy and you can't help but want to continue to pursue it and work with it further.
100%. And I agree with what you said about Amy, how her mind and her heart are in the right place and it's not coming from a place of ego. But once she gets further in this journey and the confidence is there, I'm thinking about having her do readings for people as part of like a Patreon bonus or exclusive content to accompany my show. So we'll just have to see where that goes. And when the time's right, we'll do it. So switching gears, Courtney, I was doing a little bit of reading on your website, and your story is like quite a few of other psychic mediums that I have talked to in the past. You sensed at a young age that you had something different about you. You had something special, but then you didn't tap into it until you were older. However, compared to some other mediums I've talked to, you seem to wait quite a bit later in your life to tune into this than most other people. So why did you wait so long from childhood to well into adulthood to explore what was going on within yourself?
That's a great question. So ever since I was a very young child, and actually my earliest recollection, I was 3 years old. My mom was pushing me on a wooden swing that we had in the backyard. And I remember in the backyard, we had a tall wooden fence. And I had saw a man walking on the top of the fence. And I said, "Mom, who is this?" And she couldn't see him. And I had instances like that throughout my whole life. And a lot of it, I couldn't understand. And when I would share it with my family, there used to be a little boy that used to visit my room all the time. And I could see him. And he was solid. Not an apparition. He was solid. And nobody could see him. And so when you have people saying this is just your imagination, there's nothing there, something within me kind of made me turn down the volume or turn down the dial, if I can put it that way, where, okay, must be just my imagination. But as I got into my teens, I definitely started to deal with some anxiety and not knowing where it was coming from. Later on, having an understanding that it was when the spirit world was drawing close, I just couldn't cope with it at that time. But I would always know things, see things, and sense things psychically and mediumistically, but I just wasn't at the place in my life where I wanted to open up. Then I was young when I got married and had children, and both of my children are sensitives, but they don't work with any of their abilities. They can sense and perceive spirit, but that's for you, Mom, right? And they're grown now and they still don't want to work with that. And you know what? That's okay. Just because we have abilities doesn't mean that we actually have to work with them. But when I got divorced, there was something within me that decided this is the right time in my life to actually pursue this further, to get a deeper understanding of actually what's going on. Why am I seeing these people and what do they want from me? And through developing my own spiritual practice, getting into meditation, I was heavily into yoga, and yoga is a wonderful exercise and spiritual practice that helps you connect not only with the physical body, but your spiritual self. And it was this gradual process of where these mediumistic potentials started to unfold, and I really needed some guidance with them. And it was a few years, maybe about 5 years later, that I actually came across the spiritualist church that I'm now a minister of. And I had a girlfriend who went to a platform mediumship reading. So in the United Kingdom, in the UK, they will call gallery readings platforms mediumship. And in Canada and the United States, we usually call it gallery readings. So when I heard about mediums standing on a stage giving messages, I thought, oh my goodness, what is going on here? These people are just summoning spirits. And I thought, here, I've been running from them my whole life. But there was something within me that kept nudging and nudging. And I could hear spirit say to me, "Courtney, you need to go." And I just was too scared to deal with it. I thought, no, I am slowly taking this journey. And then 9 months later, that little voice kept getting louder and louder. It was not my higher self. It was definitely the spirit world. And when I walked through that doors, I had incredible visual images of the spirit world objectively. So clairvoyant objective, which means that I'm actually seeing the person as I see you. And that was, I hadn't seen that since I was a little kid. Anyways, when I got to Lighthouse, they were able to give me the proper training and guidance and support that I needed to unfold these abilities in a way that was safe. People that were trained, people that knew that they were doing what they were doing, and they were guiding me in a way that was at my own pace. And that was really important for me. And another reason why I really took my time with this, Phil, was because I knew the great responsibility that came with mediumship. It wasn't about just giving readings. It was about connecting with the spirit world to bring comfort to the bereaved, to help bring proof of survival. And it's not a novelty. Mediumship is something very, very special, and I did not take it lightly. And then about 3 years after I started getting involved in spiritualism, I got into the ministry where I became a student minister, and now I'm a licensed minister. And I'm glad that I took my time with it, because I needed to be in the right place at the right time to allow these abilities to unfold, can I say, without a whole lot of extra distractions. And being a young mom, my kids are grown. They're moved on their own now, and I'm able to dedicate my life and this work to the spirit world. Not separating the two, but being able to fully commit to it, because it's a huge responsibility. And now I'm moving more into the teaching, still doing private readings, but doing more into the teaching and helping others who have walked a similar path as myself.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing that a lot of people get pushed into this kind of work? And when I say this, I just mean spiritual work, which is a very broad spectrum. So you said you went further after you went through a divorce, which obviously, and I've been through the same, it's a very traumatic and sometimes long-lasting event. And just before and just after my divorce, I got pushed, even though it took me longer to process. I was having crystal clear premonitions in my dreams to the point where they were scaring me. And then I had to do reading up on understanding them. And then over the years, a whole bunch of floodgates open. And as we speak, as we record this, I just went through my first phase of shamanic training. And in a few weeks' time, I'm doing my first level of Reiki training. So those are going to blend together eventually. And I wouldn't have gotten to this point if those 6-7 years ago, I got pushed in this direction. So I really resonate with what you say on that one.
Yeah, I find that some people are really gung-ho about having abilities, and especially when they start to have little glimmers of awakening, or can I say they start tapping into that higher states of awareness. They recognize that there's more to this earth than just this physical realm. They just crave it, and they want everybody else to jump on board. And yes, it's exciting, but we can't keep our head in the clouds. We're spiritual beings having a human experience, but we can't neglect that human experience. And just because our journey is one where we want to delve further into spirituality, like you said, it's a vast subject. Not everybody is going to resonate with that. And that's not right or wrong. It's just our personal choices, and we have free will, and I think we need to respect that. I know I've seen some people in workshops when the center was still open. People are dragging their friends, and their friends don't want to be there. Respect that. Respect that. They're like, get me out of here. And, you know, that's okay.
So one of your specialties on your website is intuitive card readings, and you put a very detailed descriptions, and in big capital quotes, you say, I do not predict the future, because most people who aren't as deep into this stuff, they hear psychic or medium and they're like, oh, you're a fortune teller. You can tell what's going to happen to me at any time. So can you break down, first of all, why you have this written so clearly on your website and why this is such a big misunderstanding with people, and what it is you actually do in these intuitive card readings?
Okay, absolutely. So number one, it is illegal under the Criminal Code of Canada to do any predictions. So that's right the on. First and foremost. So I don't
Very
do
important.
That. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But number huge, absolutely. And then number two, I personally don't like to do it, even if it wasn't illegal. I wouldn't want to do it only because here's a scenario. So I've had people who have come to me for an intuitive card reading, and I'm very clear, I don't do past, present, or future readings, but they are wanting me to tell them what's going to happen. They are wanting me to be very clear about what the next phase of their life looks like. And if I were to give that information to them, Phil, they are going to want their life to be exactly like that. And can I say, it's a big responsibility when you're working psychically or mediumistically and you're telling people that things that are going to happen. It's a huge responsibility. One, you need to be mindful of what you're actually giving to these people, because some people are going to take what you say as the gospel truth. And I have had a client recently who went to a psychic. I did a reading recently, but he went to a psychic 20 years ago, and this man is now in his 60s. He had went to somebody, and this psychic told him that he was going to die in 20 years.
Oh boy.
Okay.
Oh boy.
Gave him a specific dates, times, and everything.
Oh.
This whole man lived his whole life in fear So as I tuned into the spirit world, they said, no, he's not. No, he's not. And all I could do was reassure him that everything was going to be okay and that he's put his life on hold for so long to stop that, put that aside and to begin to live. So you can see how if somebody says something, it can change the whole course of somebody's life simply based on what you say. And I, who have studied natural laws through a ministry training, know that there is cause and effect. And then there's personal responsibility. There's a law of attraction. So if we think, feel, or say something, we are these creative beings who can manifest these circumstances in our life. So if I were to tell somebody, you're going to win the lottery, or you're going to get a divorce, or I see a big move, people can actually manifest that into their life through the power of intention. And it actually has nothing to do with me. So I'm careful about that. I can see when I do my card readings, people will come to me and they will ask questions about romance, career, finances, relationship, all kinds of stuff. Now, when I'm doing the cards, there's a couple of different ways I do them. But one is typically, let's say somebody wanted to know about a potential relationship that they're thinking about. Well, the first card is going to say, okay, these are some things that you need to look at or consider that you haven't really kind of cleaned up or taken care of from the past. The second card is going to say, well, this is what the current energy looks like right now. And here is a potential outcome. So I don't do predictions, but I will do potential outcomes, recognizing that that individual has free choice and they can take the advice or the suggestions that come through the cards, that come through me intuitively when I'm working, when I'm channeling that information. Or they can say, you know what, Courtney, that doesn't really resonate with me. I think I might try something different. Yeah, or they might say, you know what, thanks for the, or they might say, hey, Courtney, thanks for the heads up. You know what, I didn't really like the course of way things were going. You know what, I think I'm going to make some changes, right? So I look at it as empowering people to make choices.
And from my experience from getting readings, the good psychics are the ones who will say, entertainment purposes only. And I am not this or this in terms of legal advice, health advice, and all that. But this is... Yeah. Potential outcomes based on your energy. And I'm not going to make these dire predictions for you. So yeah, well said.
Yeah, absolutely. And in my booking policy, in my privacy statement on my website, that's very transparent. I let people know how I work and what to expect. There's no in between the lines.
Yeah, there's no gray area. And I want to give a couple of examples to you of, like, I'm just shaking my head at that story of how a man lived in fear for a good chunk of his life because he had his death day allegedly predicted for him. One example is from a guest on the show, and one example is a personal one from myself. The first one of the guests from the show was, I had a woman on who runs ghost tours internationally. And of course, when I have a ghost tour, Guyana, I got to ask stories of strange guests. It's amazing podcast content, and it's just fun to talk about. But
yeah,
she told me she had a gentleman who claimed to be a psychic medium, and he started doing readings to some of the guests on the spot in the tour without their permission. And she had to ask him to leave basically after she told a woman, you had a miscarriage, right? And I was just like, whoa, like, really? Like, are you serious? And here's one of my own personal experience. I've gone to the odd trade shows in my area, and some of them amazing, wonderful people who are in tune, who wants what's best for you and knows what's going on. Others, I will say, without mentioning any names, are complete grifters and have no business being there. One of them I went to said, this was like mid to late summer. This upcoming winter, you will get into a car accident. And it may look bad, but don't worry about it. You'll be fine. Guess what? It never happened. So where they got off on seeing anything close to that just boggles my mind. So like, what are your thoughts when you hear cringeworthy statements like the ones I just told you?
I just wonder, where are people getting this information from? And better yet, why do they feel the need to share that with you? Now, some psychics, some psychic mediums, because there is a difference between how psychics work and then how the mediumship works. There is a difference. But you can say to people, well, if I'm seeing somebody's getting in a car accident, maybe there is a mechanical malfunction that you're seeing. Why couldn't you just suggest to the person, hey, maybe just go get your car checked up, maybe a little inspection, just to make sure everything's okay. That way you don't have somebody panicking, thinking they're going to get in a car accident and potentially die. Yeah. I don't get it. And I think it's reckless. And again, I think it comes down to the integrity of the medium or the psychic.
Yeah. When I was told that, I didn't get too flustered because number one, like I'm pretty sensitive to other people's energy. And before that was said, I figured something was a little off. So it didn't startle me when I heard it. And when I was told it, it was told, yeah, this is going to happen. It's going to happen in the wintertime. You just kind of have to deal with it. And I was like, what? That doesn't sound right at all. And of course, nothing happened. And I didn't even have any close calls that could have resembled that remark. So it was really out there. So Courtney, at this point.
Sounds like it. I don't know.
Yeah. We've talked about what to expect from you. We've talked about some ethical guidelines of psychics and differentiating the good and the bad. Psychic mediumship to many has a lot of ingrained stereotypes, like predicting the future. What are some other stereotypes you would like to break down and dispel right now that others may not even know about?
Okay, so that's a really good question. A lot of people think that mediums, psychic mediums, are always open, that they are always sensing, feeling, and perceiving spirit. When you go into a grocery store, you're seeing family members with people. And that's not true. Now, a good medium will make sure when they're done working with the spirit world. So, for example, I've done a private sitting. I'm done working. I thank spirit for working with me. I'm going to shut down. I'm going to turn that volume down so I'm not as tuned into the spirit world. So that way I can go about my regular life without always having to relay messages from spirit, okay? A good medium will do that because it affects you on all levels, the body, mind, and spirit. So we are not always open and we are not going up to people randomly and giving messages. It doesn't happen.
Sorry, can I interrupt you right there?
Doesn't happen.
Before you continue, yeah. What are your thoughts on, you know, these mediums who have their own reality show? I'm just going to state my opinion and then I'll let you answer.
Yeah.
My opinion is that, yeah, these people have a gift, but their intention is not in the right place. And ever since it got popular in like the early 2000s, I've called reality TV manipulation of reality TV because it's exactly what it is. It's filmed in a verite style to make it look real, but there's so many people behind the scenes moving and shaking certain pieces and certain people and stirring the pot. So yeah, it may be filmed in real time, but things are going on below the line to get a reaction and to make things look more exciting than they are. So what are your thoughts on that before you break down more stereotypes?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it serves a purpose to have mediums on TV. I'll say that. There is a purpose behind it. I get that the positive takeaway from that is that mediumship is becoming more mainstream. Years and years ago, even going back a couple hundred years ago, there was the Witchcraft Act. People who were considered mediums were literally burned at the stake simply because they could see spirit or they knew things that were going to happen. And that's a whole other topic, right? Yeah. But it's made it more, can I say, normalized, where people who have abilities don't feel like they have to be in the closet anymore. They can come out, they can share these abilities, help people in a way that is uplifting and encouraging without the fear or the backlash. So I feel like we've been able to reach more people through TV shows. The downside to that is it gives a misconception of what mediumship is all about. Again, being open and wanting, you know, running up to random people and giving messages. That's just not ethical, number one, in my opinion. And number two, I actually recently just saw an episode where this very well-known medium, who I do think is a good medium, and the quality of the mediumship is there, but stayed open all day. So basically what I mean by open is that they attune themselves to the spirit world. So they're in this heightened state of awareness. So they are picking up every spirit with every person that they were seeing. Well, this medium by the end of the episode was so physically sick because they had allowed themselves to pick up all of this energy. And when we're a medium, when we're in these heightened states of awareness, it's an instrument. We have to take care of it, because if you don't take care of it, it can affect you physically. So you got to be really mindful about that too. And another misconception about mediums is that they think that we sit in circles and we're doing seances. Now, I've been to many seances. I have no problem with that. But not everybody does that. And mediumship is not an occult. It is an ability that we are born with. And if we go back thousands of years, even if you want to go back to biblical times, and some people might think this is blasphemy, but Jesus was one of the greatest mediums there ever was. He was connecting with the spirit world. He was speaking to angels. He was an incredible healer. He brought healing to people. That's just one little instance there. So mediumship has been around from the beginning of time, and it will continue to do so. But I think the lasting thing that is going to really help mediumship level up is if we increase the quality of the mediumship that we're seeing nowadays.
Yeah, quality over quantity for sure. And you had me think, I didn't watch the show all that often, but I'd see clips of Teresa Caputo, the Long Island medium. And like you said, in the quick promos for it or to begin or end an episode, she's walking up and she's like, oh, I'm going to read that person today in the grocery store. And then there's a scene that's spliced together to make you believe she walked up to a woman, introduced herself, and then just did a reading on the spot, which is totally not the case, but it's going to give people a lot of the wrong impressions. One other question related on this aspect is kind of your thoughts on skeptics overall. I'm friends with some, I've had some on the show. And to me, it seems like, and they're doing great work. Like they're trying to, what's the word I'm looking for? They're trying to hold frauds accountable. Like they're trying to shine a light on people who exploit other people for money, and they do an awesome job of it. However, I do think it somewhat clouds their judgment, especially with this very subject. And they can jump to conclusions and think all people who practice mediumship are like this. So like, what are your thoughts on the skeptical community? I mean,
The skeptical community, I think it does serve a purpose. I think to an extent it does serve a purpose, and people should not believe, can I say, things at face value. Now, based on my training of mediumship and having a really strong foundation in spiritualism, our code of ethics, our religion philosophy is based upon the proof of survival. So we have very strict criteria that we are working with, that we follow by when we are working mediumistically. One, making sure our heart is in the right place and bringing through pieces of information that you can't Google, that you can't find anywhere. Okay. And what I mean by that is bringing through pieces of information that nobody else would know except that individual and those in the spirit world. And I think mediums need to really go beyond some of the vague information and really push themselves to get more details, get more evidence. And I have had skeptics come into readings, and you can usually see them because they're sitting there with their arms crossed. And I go, oh my God, it's going to be one of these ones.
Energy's
but I just let
off.
People know I'm a reg. Absolutely. And so, okay, how do I work through that? How do I get past that wall? And I'm okay with people being skeptics, but at least come in with an open mind. And I do feel like some skeptics, yes, bringing light to the frauds, no problem. Now, in spiritualism, that has been going on for a long time. And I think that's good because you want to have credibility where credibility is due. Makes sense to me. And there's always going to be a bad nut in the batch, I suppose, right? But it's about the integrity and respecting the people that are trying to bring through what's needed for those individuals. And if somebody gives a good reading or brings through good evidence, and there's no way that they could have found this information through scrolling on the internet or you know, planting people to gain information, especially in gallery readings, then it at least makes you wonder, where did that individual get that information from? Skeptics are okay, but I always say, I like the ones that at least keep an open mind about it.
Confirmation bias is a very serious thing, no matter what you believe. And I've talked about this on the show and on my Instagram page before. So, I mean, we don't need to get much further into that, but very well said.
Yeah.
So one thing that I thought was really informative on your website was that I love how clear and transparent you are about your tips for receiving readings. Because I don't know if enough people in your line of work do this the way you have done it. And with that being said, we're going to give your website out at the end so people can go visit and get that information. But what tips do you have for mediums, either who are experienced or in training, about protection and switching off, like you said? Because like you said, you can be open for too long and get yourself sick. You can go to a seance and you can channel something you don't want to channel or you don't want to mess with. So what are some of your top protection tips in terms of that?
Yeah, good question. So there's a lot of people that are on both sides of the fence. Some people that believe in protection and some people that don't. From a very young girl, I have been aware of the spirit world, but I also recognize that there are lower energies and then there's higher vibration energies. There are some really not so nice entities out there. They are. But I also know that if somebody is beginning to raise their vibration and move away from fear and ego and start moving into love and those higher vibrations, you don't attract those. However, I always say protection is key. You wouldn't park your car on the street and leave the windows rolled down and your car unlocked. You're going to roll it up. You might even put a little device on the steering wheel so somebody can't take the car. So for me, when I begin to work, whether it's through teaching or I'm doing a private session, I'm going to ground myself, make sure I connect with that earth energy. So that way I'm still connected to myself. Then I'm going to wrap myself around with a beautiful white light. And that white light is representation of protection. And can I say, in many respects, it repels those lower vibrations, those lower entities. And I don't encounter those. I'm not going to say that I don't encounter some characters on the spirit world when I'm doing private sittings, but am I connecting with any kind of negative entities or energies? No. I haven't been aware of any of that in years simply because of the work that I've done with myself. People might call it shadow work. And that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Shadow work is a very, very important thing, no matter who you are. So I am all for that. So you said earlier that your medium workshops online have been a major success. And like just about anybody else that owns a business, you've had to transition, at least for the last year and a bit, from in-person to online because of the pandemic. I'd like to learn more about how you made that switch and how it's affected your business and some of the pivots you've had to make. And I also just want to know, like I said, once we're lifted, how does this affect you moving forward?
Okay, so I've actually been doing virtual readings long before COVID. I have clients in Denmark, the UK, and throughout North America. So I've been doing this. So the transition was easier for me than perhaps it was for my clients. But it definitely did take a little bit getting used to. Just making sure, you know, you upgrade your internet and all that kind of good stuff, right? Making sure that you've got good devices so you can connect with people. But as far as the quality of the information that comes through when you're doing a private sitting, it's exactly the same. And people go, biggest question I get, how do virtual readings work? And I say, well, it's actually simple. So whether I'm doing an in-person reading or virtual reading, I'm going to be sharing information with my client. I'm going to want to hear their voice. Like, good answers are yes, I understand. No, I don't understand, or maybe. So when I'm hearing their voice, Phil, it's like this energetic link or cord, if you will, is connected between me and my clients. And then I'm able to tune in and sweep the atmosphere around them and tune into the spirit people that are with them. Now, people have this misconception that all the spirits are with the medium. That's not actually the case. The loved ones, those that have departed, that are coming to have this communication are actually with the recipient, my client. those that work with me, I always say, refer to them as my coworkers in spirit, they're with me. So as long as I'm hearing that voice, that's how the link is going to work. And it's exactly the same as when I'm doing an in-person reading. Right now, we're starting to, in BC, it was just released this afternoon, there's going to be this gradual reopening, and hopefully back by September. I don't know what that's going to look like yet, and I will look at that as we get closer.
Very good. And it just goes to show that, you know, even in the best of times, you have to pivot to survive, but it's especially even more so now. And with the help of resilience and just, you know, trying to believe the best. So another aspect of your business, which we haven't touched upon yet, but I think would be a really good time to do so, is something called soul coaching. Now, I've heard of life coaching. Is this similar? And like, what is your own personal take on this? Because soul coaching, I don't know if that's a term that gets thrown around as much as, say, a life coach, but I'm very intrigued to hear.
Yeah, so I've actually recently completed my spiritual life coach certification course with James von Prague through his school, James von Prague School of Mystical Arts. And that is something that I've always felt a desire to get involved in. And because you can't always just work mediumistically all the time, right? It does take a lot of energy from you. But I also wanted to be able to offer life coaching, but going deeper, recognizing that we're spiritual beings having this human experience. We need to go beyond this physical self and really delve deep into the soul and discover the whispers and the knowledge and the wisdom that is there within. So again, it's about helping people uncover the layers within, reveal the knowledge and the answers that they have right there. And it's also about empowering people. I see this a lot with my clients, especially with the current climate of the world right now. People are having a hard time staying optimistic, staying in those higher vibrations, and are struggling with making clear decisions for themselves, which is why they come and see people like me. And I'm good with that, but I also want people to know that they don't need to be dependent on psychic mediums, but that they're able to rely on themselves to get the answers and the guidance they need very quickly. So I am offering individual and also an 8-week course soul coaching. So this is looking at similar techniques that are touched upon in life coaching, but we're going deeper and we're bringing in the spiritual aspects. And I'm also helping people connect to their soul self and to also connect to those guiding influences in the spirit world that are always close, whether they're aware of them or not. And I always say, you don't have to be a medium to be able to connect with the spirit world. We're all able to do with that. And when you can make that link and that connection, Phil, it is life-changing. So I want to be able to help people experience what I've been able to experience and empower them to manifest the life that they have been wanting for so long.
Yeah, and I think it can be done the right way without dependency, because that's what you don't want from it. In limited studies of shamanism, I'm paraphrasing the quote here. I don't remember it off the top of my head, but I read something about how, like, a shaman is not a healer. The healer is actually the client, and the shaman is basically awakening that aspect within the client and bringing them into that realization. Would you say that is somewhat similar to what you're doing with the soul coaching?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good. Because, like I said, I mean, you touched upon this, but it is probably extra important nowadays than before the pandemic, for obvious reasons, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. People are really struggling with the climate of the world. This pandemic has really thrown everything upside down. And so people are struggling. People have lost their jobs. People are struggling to just get by, make ends meet. And some people may not be able to go back to jobs that they once had. And they're looking for something to inspire them, something to help them move forward in a life that's fulfilling. And I believe in these soul coaching sessions, I'm going to be able to support my clients in being able to do that.
Yeah, and I hope you're able to do so. That's great stuff. Courtney, we just have a few minutes left here. Thank you so much for the time.
Sure.
This has been an amazing conversation, and it's the true epitome of what the Lightworker series is all about. I don't want to have a full discussion about what's been going on over the last, 14 months plus, but I do want your insight on one thing that I've just been thinking about personally quite a bit lately. A lot has been going on in the world, and I'm not even just talking about the pandemic, but yet one thing seems to intertwine with the next because it's all connected, which, we obviously yeah. know. But I think one thing, the pandemic as a whole and the other events of the last 14 months, it's been a mirror to each and every one of us. And what I mean by that is that it's like we're having a mirror held up to us individually, even though it affects us collectively as a whole, it's affecting us differently as individuals. And we're really seeing who's afraid, who's aggressive, who has an abundance mindset, who has a scarcity mindset, who believes everything they hear on the news, hook, line, and sinker, who lives their life by imposing their wills on others. I could go on and on forever, but it seems like this has all affected us on a deep, deep level, and how we're dealing with it and how we're coping it and how we treat others during this time is just a major magnification of where we're at as human beings. So do you agree with that analogy, or what are some of your thoughts on that?
I do agree with that analogy, and it's really shone a spotlight on each of us as individuals and collectively as a whole. It's really brought to light that there's a lot of people that perhaps are only out for themselves. But then we've also got the other side of the spectrum where we've got incredible groups of people that are rallying together to support one another, to be there for one another, and to help bring the necessary changes that have been put off for far too long. And I really feel like there's a greater sense of unity that's coming together, despite even though physical distancing and we're being kept away from our loved ones. I do feel that in our own ways, we are shifting and we are changing, whether we like it or not, whether mm-hmm. this has been our free will or it's been imposed upon us. But I think out of every difficult situation, Phil, there's always, like you said, that silver lining. And perhaps this is going to allow us to appreciate more of those relationships that we have with people. It's going to help us really kind of shift the way we look at the world and how we show up in the world.
Absolutely. And last part of this, I don't want to generalize too much, but in my own dealings, those who have felt the fear the most, they also don't seem to have a harmonious relationship with their own spirituality, if you get what I'm saying. So, I mean, I think 100%. that's a big tell as well. The people who are most afraid of the small parts of this, like, I think they're afraid of what happens in death and where they're going to go when they die, even though they don't want to talk about it. They'd rather just focus on the micromanagement aspects of it as well. That's another big thing for me.
I totally agree with you. And when we understand that life is a journey from one continuation, from one phase to the next, and we realize that death is really an illusion, that this physical body is just a shell, but our essence continues to exist in different realms and different dimensions. And then when we understand that nothing can ever break, tarnish, or damage us, we know that life's eternal. And then you remove the element of fear. And when you have no fear, you're then able to live.
No. So many different directions we can go with this. I love that. But
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Anyway, Courtney, I want to have you back on another show. In fact, if you stay on after we're done recording, I have a cool idea to pitch to you. But we're going to lighten up the mood now before we get you to plug your work and tell people where you can find you.
Sure.
Would you be able to tell me, it's kind of a two-part question, but can you tell me about, like, with, respecting individuals' privacy intact and all that, what are some of the most amazing situations that you can recall you've had during readings, and what are some of the most bizarre, like you said earlier, where you had to cover your mouth because you're laughing so hard or trying not to laugh?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have had recently a private reading with a gentleman, and his father came through. And this man had quite the personality. And can I say he was a little rough and gruff, the father in spirit. And when he came through, some of the comments he said were pretty off the cuff. And I was a little taken aback. And to be honest, not even comfortable sharing this. But the man kept repeating it.
Sorry to interrupt, but was it like Archie Bunker style, like in that vein?
It was not okay. G-rated, I'll say that. So I'm very careful on how I convey some of the information. And that was some of the most incredible evidence that this man had, because everything else that was coming through, he said, maybe, I'm not sure, maybe. But just some of those comments that came through, it really solidified the link for him. I've also done a reading for a lady. This was actually at a gallery reading on a public platform. And a medium had gone to this young woman, gave her a sitting, and then she got down from the platform while her grandfather was there and told me I needed to go back to her. And he said, congratulations. And I felt like I was rubbing the tummy. And she looked at me just kind of like, what are you talking about? And I said, he keeps talking about the number 3. And I feel it's either 3 days or 3 weeks. And again, I'm not doing predictions. It's just what spirit says. And she kind of looked a little startled, but I said, I don't know if the cat's come out of the bag. Well, when I got off the platform, she told me her and her husband were trying to have a baby. Anyways, I got a message 3 days later on Facebook Messenger and found out she was pregnant.
Oh, wow.
So her grandfather had connected with that spirit of that child before it even been born yet. And that she has a beautiful, healthy baby. So that's some incredible evidence there too.
Yeah. And I just wanted to add to that, like, there's no way you would have known this prior. And I'm sure when you were in the reading, she wasn't even close to showing yet, right?
No, she would have just been pregnant. And like I said, it was on a public platform and there was a room of at least 40 or 50 people. I could have not known that information.
Wow. Incredible stuff. Courtney, like I said, we're up against it for time right now, because I'm sure we could go on and on with this. This has been amazing.
You bet.
So where can the true believers find you? Where is your website and where can they connect with you on social media?
All right. So they can get information on my website at mediumcourtneydawson.com. You can also follow me on Facebook at C Dawson. And you can also take a look at my Instagram, where I spend a lot of time there at mediumcourtneydawson. And I look forward to connecting with all of you.
Courtney, amazing stuff. We'll have you back on here soon sometime.
Sounds good. Thanks so much.
A big thank you to medium Courtney Dawson for taking the time and the energy to share all that wonderful spirit and wisdom that she has. The true essence of what the Lightworker series is all about on this program. And I have to say once again, a big thank you to Angel Card Amy. Sometimes, you know, she goes dormant or sometimes she's a little scattered. But when it's in the clutch, she really comes through. Amy first connected with Courtney on Instagram a couple of months back and got us in touch with each other. And what I feel was an amazing show was produced because of it. So Amy, keep up the good work. And Courtney, you're definitely back welcome on this show at any time. And like I said, we have some stuff planned. I talked to her after recording and I can't get into it right now, but she will definitely be a returning guest at a future time. That is set in stone for sure, and that's all I can reveal right now. So give her a follow. If you're thinking of becoming a medium, she'd be great to learn from. You might be able to meet Angel Card Amy at one of the workshops. Who knows? But wow, really amazed by that chat. And if you can't already hear, birds are going nuts outside of my balcony right now. And just to show how into that chat I was, as I record this, I am missing a Toronto Maple Leafs playoff game. So those of you that know me well know that I do not put off these playoff games for just anybody, especially with their playoff utility in the last, you know, decade or two. So they are currently kicking ass, and it looks like they're very close to being on their way to round two. So plenty of other games to catch up on if all goes well. But this is how into this stuff I am, just to give you an idea. And it's a good omen all around. So if you haven't already done so, I talked to Courtney about this too off the air. I mentioned that I did a rant against Joe Rogan's treatment of Robert Bigelow and the psychic medium content and his questions on the Joe Rogan show back in February. I put this on my Instagram live feed, which you could catch up on the IGTV. I may actually repost that just to get you caught up on it if you haven't missed it. And yeah, I think that's about it. What an amazing way to end the month of May. The warm weather's finally here. She said her province is in stages of reopening. That is the same for me in Ontario. Sounds like it might be open up before BC, which is really too bad for them. But it's not that far apart, that's for sure, for either one of us. And we go onward and upward from here. And just a quick update at the time of this recording, I'm a few weeks away from taking my level one Reiki. I am so excited about this. And very close to posting the blog on my early shamanic training and experience. So lots going on here. Lots going on in the month of June in regards to the Void Network podcast. Void Podcast Network. Pardon me on that one. Stay tuned to the Unexplained Incorporated socials to get caught up on that. And you know where to follow. IG, Phantom Phil Unexplained, and also Angel Card Amy and the show page for Unexplained Incorporated. Also, you can follow on Twitter at PhantomPhil3, Facebook, Unexplained Incorporated. And yeah, next week on the show, case study time again as we begin the month of June. Angel Card Amy will be in. And we are doing Haunting in Connecticut. Yes, continuing with the Warrens theme a second straight month. And we will rejoin you then. So you know how it goes, true believers. Stay strong, stay healthy, and most importantly, stay curious. The doors of Unexplained Incorporated for this week are now closed.